Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. You know, if you've tuned in the last 2 weeks, you could have just been so blessed with these little peeps in this room. They're from Grace University, and oh my goodness, they're just adorable. I wish you could see them.
Some of us are more little than others.
We'll have to get Nick to take a photo before we leave, okay?
It's great. Well, we're still in Mark 10, 46 through 52, blind Bartimaeus, and Tara's going to do some kind of little challenge here, and so
yeah,
be ready, peeps.
I was thinking we have people that are going. We kind of talked last time about how Bartimaeus had to get up and go, and I didn't plan on doing this, but I really think it'll be fun, so we're going to do this. We're going to, because this room is filled with, Sandy and I may refer them as little peeps. They're grown adults,
they're,
y'all.
Yes, they are.
They are adults.
So we act.
Sometimes, yeah.
And they are people who are sold out for Jesus. Mm. And so we'll go through and we're going to look at their go. But before we look at their goal, we've got to help people catch up with where we're at, and we need to hear our Bible passage. And so Naomi has volunteered to be our storyteller for this session. Go ahead, Naomi.
So Jesus and his disciples, they're going into the town of Jericho. And so he's going in, and there's a large crowd with him. And as he's walking in, there's a blind man sitting on the side of the road, and his name was Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. And he heard that Jesus was coming into Jericho. And so he starts yelling, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." But the crowd is there, and they're telling him, "Be quiet, stop yelling, stop making a ruckus." But he keeps yelling even louder, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And so Jesus stops, and he says, "Call him." And so they go back to Bartimaeus and they say, "Cheer up, get up, he's calling you." And so they bring him to Jesus. And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, I want to see." And Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you. You can go." But immediately the man gets up and he follows Jesus.
Nice job.
I know.
Yay, I love it.
I love my peeps. I love my peeps. Okay, so with Bartimaeus, he had to get up and go. It takes courage. They actually use, the Greek word is tharseo, and cheer up or take courage, okay? And we gave that as a challenge last year to our RAs. And it takes courage to do the boldness of pursuing Jesus when people are telling you, shh, when people are silencing you. It takes incredible fortitude and willingness to persevere, some of the things we've talked about, confidence, and I'm going to say not so much confidence in yourself, but confidence in God and trusting God's character, trusting who he is and the outcome of what he intends to do. So we're going to start with Stephanie. We're just going to work down the line, and they're going to each share with us how they are choosing to get up and go for Jesus. Go ahead, Steph.
Well, right now, quite literally, I'm going to get up every morning because it's summertime and I just graduated from college. And so getting up and spending time with Jesus every day is just hugely important and will impact my life so much. And that's what I thought of immediately, was quite literally getting up and going in the morning.
But come July 27th, what will you do?
Well, I'm following Jesus by, I'm moving to Houston, Texas this summer, and I'm going to be teaching in an inner city public school classroom and representing Christ there.
Oh, good for you.
I know, I'm so excited.
I'm pretty excited.
She's going to be a missionary to the urban city kids.
Oh, yes. Great. It's
incredible.
Absolutely. You've got to go where you need to be gone. Yeah.
And you're very wise to get up and just draw near to Jesus. Was conviction happening?
Yeah.
Okay, Naomi.
No, I love what Steph said, actually, because I think that's the most important thing, I don't know, that I keep learning, is that it's every day, am I loving Jesus and following him today? So today, when I finish this, I'm going to go home and keep packing and writing letters that I don't want to write, because I get to go to Niger, West Africa, beginning in July, end of July, I move there, and I'll be teaching for a year. I'll teach missionary kids and then some other kids from the community. So I'm really excited for that.
Well, I have a friend that's a missionary that was in Africa for 25 years that's in my fellowship group.
Wow.
You guys should get together and talk.
That's wonderful. So we have inner city, urban, we have Africa, and now we have
Well, I'm going to get up and go right here.
Local.
Yes, very local. But what I want to do isn't necessarily bound to location because I want to start writing. Mm. And probably mostly fiction, but I really want to portray the stories of Christ and the messages of Christ through different stories that are culturally relevant and meet people where they are and speak to them in a way that they'll understand and resonate with because, I mean, that's the reason that Jesus communicated through story is because it's powerful. Mm. And I'm really excited to start writing that way so that the stories can go for me so that I can stay here.
I love it. I love it.
Be wherever I need to be.
I will be the first to read it.
All right. Well, man, what am I going to do? Man, the coolest thing, a super cool thing about Jesus is that when you meet him, he rocks all your priorities. And just like the beggar, like, he had so much faith in God, he threw aside his cloak. And for a beggar, that's one that's huge. And, man, like, I don't know, when you see Jesus for who he really is, it changes you. This next coming school year, I'll be an RA. And God has been super gracious to allow me to serve that way. And, man, you know what? It might sound kind of cliche, but I just want to love people. You know what I mean? And God's rocked my world. And I've seen him, and I just want to love other people and help them see him too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll be an RA and at Grace, and yeah, I'm just super excited to see God in the people and
that's
have him
exciting.
Be known.
An RA, for those of you that don't know, is a resident assistant. So, they're the leaders on campus that oversee the dorms on campus, the people that are living in the halls. Okay, Keisha?
Well, this week I'm going to get up and go to Israel with Catherine and Tori and Tara. But after that, this next school year, I will be a TL, which is a team leader. We're underneath the RAs and we're helping them. And just like in Israel, I want to share the love of God with others through storytelling and just preaching the good news. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Wonderful.
That's awesome. I will be an RA as well, so I'll be working a lot with Keisha because she's going to be on my hall. Woo woo! We're going to have a party. but also kind of in doing that, I want to love Jesus more so that I can love people because if I don't have the love of Jesus in me, I have nothing to give people. And so I guess it was the same as Stephanie, kind of conviction is to get up every morning and to spend time with God because I mean, I know it in my head. I can do nothing without Jesus, but I want to know it in my heart, and I want my actions to actually follow that to where everything else kind of counts as rubbish, but to know him so that he would be my main focus.
Yeah. That's good. That's very good. Okay, so the disciples, or they, as the passage references them, they go to Bartimaeus, and it's cheer up or take courage, depending on your translation. Get up. He's calling you. Go to him. He's calling you. The phrasing of these words are so critical. And I want you to think in the places that you're going, how can you be the person that's going to be the person that does that? That as you're watching the people that says to them, take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you. How can you go about doing that? And yesterday, I told you guys, several of y'all have heard my story, but y'all are going to hear it so the radio can hear it. I was irritated because I broke my phone, and honestly, I don't have time. I'm, like, working late. I like going to bed at 9 so I can be asleep by 10 because I like to wake up very early. Like, I woke up at 3:50 this morning. And I've been staying up till 11 or midnight right now for weeks just because there's so much to do. And broke my phone, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I have so many days left before I get to Israel. I have so much need to do. That's time I don't get to do what I've got to get done, which means I'm going to have to lose more sleep. Wah, wah, wah. And I honestly was in an inward spiral of, yeah, whatever. And so not good. And I show up at the Sprint store, and I'm talking with these guys, and just the conversations as they're going, and they're college age. And so I immediately have an instant love for both of them. Like, it was instant in my heart. It just, that's the way it is, because when I see people that are the same age as my peeps, that it's just like it's there. And so I kind of start the teasing that I might do with my students, and I could tell one of them, I think, probably knew Jesus, and one didn't. And I said something about, oh, yeah, I'm taking a team of students to Israel. And then they're like, you got money. You should be buying blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm like, oh, my goodness. No, no, no. That's not how it works. We had to raise money. No. And he goes, why didn't you raise money for me? I mean, they're like messing with me. Mm-hmm. And eventually God opened the door where I actually was able to storytell this passage to them. Mm-hmm. And as I was storytelling it, the one that I was coming to the conclusion he did not know the Lord, he totally slumped over and he started hanging his head and just shaking his head back and forth. And you could tell, like, he was either one, bothered by the fact I'm telling a Bible story, or two, God was like,
convicted.
Right, yeah. Something. Mm-hmm. And the other guy that I kind of was thinking, I think he knows the Lord. His eyes are getting bigger and brighter as I'm telling, and he's just getting this grin on his face like, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe she's doing this. Like, she's giving him the word. And when I finish telling, the guy looks up, and the that had his head hung, and the other guy gives him the look like, don't mess with her. You know, like, you could see he's like, this is not somebody you want to be messing with. And God just gave me this incredible boldness. And I know it's because of the training and what we're doing for Israel. And I just looked at him and square in the eyes and just said, Jesus wants to know from you, what do you want from him? Mm-hmm. And the guy just couldn't speak. Mm-hmm. He just kind of just stared at me like, did she just say that to me, kind of look on his face? Yeah. And then we chit-chatted, and then I left the store because I had to go to another store. Those moments of being willing to be where we're at and pause for the people. And I walked out and I thought, God, if my phone had not broke, mm-hmm. I would not have had that moment.
That's right.
I was so all about what my busyness of my crowdedness, my own, I had my own crowd happening in my head. Does anybody do that? Mm-hmm. And that I had to let go of that in order to be what God wanted me to be. And so I'm challenging my beloveds to where you're going. You're going to have to let go and take courage and move forward. And so I want us to think on those, and I want you to think through your years of being discipled. Who's the person that has told you to get up and go to Jesus? Mm-hmm. Who's the person that's been getting after you or has encouraged you or has sent you? You have people, and I know some of them because I know your stories. Mm-hmm. So let's hear a few of those to encourage people.
I was really convicted. Freshman year, there's a senior on my hall, and she was having a hard time, like, student teaching. She was just really busy. And I said something one day. I was like, hey, it's almost the weekend. It's all right. And she was like, yeah, but life is too short to live for evenings and weekends, and I want to, like, be where I am every day. And that just has stuck with me because it's not about, like, waiting for the next thing or waiting for my break, but, like, Jesus gave me today and the thing that I'm doing every day for him. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In the moment.
Good.
That's right.
Very good.
That's a good lesson.
Good one. Okay. Somebody else. Stephanie?
For me specifically, I have a professor in the teacher ed department at Grace who has really challenged me to live out my faith in the classroom. And she was actually the one who challenged me to look into the program that I'm going into next year in Texas. And she just has challenged me to pray every day for the people that I encounter, which will be my students, and to pray every moment and to really represent him in that way. So that's who's encouraged me.
That's good. That's good. Janelle?
I've got a lot of people like that in my life. I could list my family and a lot of friends that I've made at Grace. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get really cheesy and I'm going to get lots of moans from everybody. But I would say one of the best people that pushes me to be better is my boyfriend, Rob. Aww. And yeah, and aww. Say aww. The other people in my life often challenge me in ways that I expect to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And they give me things that are easy or I know that I, quote, need to grow in them, but I never really do. What Rob does is he points out in the things in me that I hate seeing or that I don't see and shows me how I need to grow in them and shows me a way that I never even thought I needed to grow. Mm. And that's been an incredible, really difficult, but an incredible experience, and I appreciate it.
Janelle, I want to write a book called I Married a Weed Eater. Because the closer you are with somebody, yes. The more your sin is made evident. Yes. Yes.
And that's very important. Yeah. That's good.
Go ahead, Tori.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of you probably can relate. There's been a lot of people in my life that excuse me, have really impacted me. When I think of the most influential people, it'd probably be my parents. My dad especially, I remember very young, he always challenged me and taught me that I'm a steward of life. Mm-hmm. You know, God gives gifts, but they're God's. They're not even your gifts. Mm-hmm. You're a steward. And it's more than just, you know, actual possessions. You know, relationships, friendships, my abilities, service, loving people, like, that's a gift from God. Mm. And as a steward, I need to take, I mean, I see this is God's. God, you've given me, you know, I was a TL this year. Like, that's a stewardship. I'm responsible, and God's going to hold me to that. Mm. So, yeah, you know, that really shaped the way I see my friends. I'm a steward of your guys' friendship here, mm. and I want to honor God with that.
That's good. Uh-huh. Very good. Very good. Keisha?
For me, I think, like Tori, family member. My aunt, Michelle, back home, she has really encouraged me to grow in my walk with the Lord and to have courage when confronting people or talking with people. Especially this year as a TL, it was difficult at times to speak life into people when they needed to hear it, but I was afraid of their emotions or what they were going to say to me. So that was good, but probably my aunt, I would say.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah, I have a lot of people, and so I'll just pick probably one of the closest people, if not the closest person to me, which would be my mom. It's so funny, kind of like Janelle said, that she will point out things that I don't want to hear, like when I, in every good way, like when I go to her and say, I don't know what to do about this, this or that, and what she says is, did you pray about it? Because I want to go and ask people. I want to go talk to Tara. I want to go talk to my mom. I want to go talk to Naomi. I want to go talk to whoever that I view as a wise person or someone that can help me. But my mom is always, did you pray about it? Mm-hmm. Did you talk to God about it before you went to seek people about it? And so it's like, no, okay. But yeah.
That's good. That's good. Sandy, how about you?
Oh, I thought we were just doing peeps.
No, you have to share too.
Wasn't even thinking. Mm-hmm. Well, I would have to go back to my friend Pat. She was always my encourager, and she's the one that brought me to Christ. So it goes back a few years.
That's wonderful.
Praise God.
Praise God is right.
Greg is my person that has discipled me the most. That, yeah, he's the person that comes in, and he is my weed eater. Yeah, and I get so convicted because it's like the ugly things that I don't want to have happen in me will be most seen in when I'm with him, because I feel safest.
Yes.
It's the people often that we feel safest.
And we need those safe people.
We do. We do. We need them. So I want to encourage you, just go love on your people. Go say thank you.
Send a note.
We're so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.